It is incredible. We'll come back to malaria in just a second, because I've now got a host of emails and questions for you, James, including why certain mouthwashes might be good mosquito repellents, which is an intriguing thought. But let's turn to Tony, because Tony Hilby, you work at Rothamsted as well. You're looking at how plants actually produce chemicals which themselves can repel pests.
Yes, that's right. As James was talking about just now, plants themselves produce 200-300 compounds, which are volatile chemicals on the surface of the plants. It's what gives them the smell to us, but it also gives the smell to the insects that are trying to colonise that crop and cause damage to it.
So the insects are sniffing out lunch by following the odour of the plant, is
what
you're saying?
That's right, yeah.
And can the reverse also be true? Because James was saying that you can get humans that are naturally repellent to mosquitoes. Are there plants that are naturally repellent to plant pests?
In this country, aphids are in particular a nuisance pest for arable crops, and they are designed their olfactory system to go to the crop and find the specific one that they want to have for lunch, as it were. And so there are compounds given out by that crop which that particular aphid really wants to go for. In the same way, it's not going to waste time going around trying to find the crops where they're not there. So there are some chemicals given off by non-host plants, the plants the aphid doesn't want to go to, and they can repel those aphids as well.
Oh, I see. So by planting those near to a plant which you want to have as a crop, you could mask the smell of the attractive plant the nasty one, and then you repel the pests.
Yeah, I mean, we have a project going on at the moment in Kenya, in East Africa, and in that region, the people there, they're subsistence farmers, and they want to grow maize. Maize is a very important crop there. It's subsistence farmed. But the maize is attacked by a stem borer pest. That's a moth which lays eggs on the maize, and the eggs hatch and create caterpillars. Caterpillars eat out the centre of the maize plants, and they fall over and die, so there's no food. So we've put together a push-pull system in that part of the world where we're using plants to control what those moths are doing. So around the outside of a field, we have a plant which is very, very attractive to the moths. So the moths will want to go there rather than go to where the maize is. So the maize is protected from those moths. At the same time, in between the maize, which is growing in the field, there are some plants planted which give off a chemical signal to the moth that would come in that says these plants are already damaged, because the volatile materials that they give off simulate or are the same chemicals as what would be produced by a maize plant if it was damaged. So any insects that are inside the field looking for a good place to lay their eggs, they're going to think, that's not a good place for me.
Because it's already been half damaged. They're thinking, because they think someone else has got there first and already eaten all the food.
That's right. The signal tells them that this is not a good place.
Okay, so it sounds great on paper, but does it work? I mean, if you do objective studies on this and count numbers, does it work?
Yes, it works very much. It works beautifully in East Africa at the moment, because there is such a lot of damage caused by these stem borer pests, and the expense of having pesticides in there is just not possible for the subsistence farmers. So while their yields are quite low, because they haven't got chemical inputs like we have in Europe and in the first world, because those inputs, they just can't do it, the yields are very low. So if you can increase those by using this sort of push-pull approach, where you're pulling the insects out into those trap crops or pushing them away with the intercrops away from that maize, then you get significantly more yield, and sort of 2 to 4 times the yield is common in these areas.
What about other kinds of pests? Because it's not just insects that are a pest. Elephants are as well in Africa, and I don't expect you to do anything about that, but plants themselves can be a pest. You know, I've got bindweed galore in my garden at home. I know that there are certain forms of that and variants of that which can be a real nuisance. Is there any way of dealing with plants themselves?
Well, plants themselves are also producing chemicals through the roots. We've talked about volatile chemicals that insects locate or avoid their host or host person or host plant. But plants also produce materials in the soil, and that's a sort of a battleground as well. So they'll be trying to compete with other plants.
So they can literally fend off another plant they decide they don't like it, by secreting something into the soil.
That's right, that's right.
And how can you use
that? From the roots, or it can be from the foliar or the material above the ground, which then falls into the earth.
And how can you use that to control parasites? Do you have plants that are friendly to crops but unfriendly to weeds then?
Well, this project in Africa that I was talking about just now, one of the crops that we put in between the maize to repel the insects, when that was used in the field situations, we found that it completely stopped a parasitic weed, which normally attacks maize as well, from parasitising the maize. This weed's called Striga hermantheca. It's a Striga plant. It's a witch weed and causes massive damage. And we found that the intercropping that we use, the intercrop in particular was called Desmodium or silver leaf. That's the common name. This was producing chemicals in the roots, naturally producing chemicals in the roots, which it uses in its own ecology. And these were affecting these Striga seeds and preventing them from germinating in the soil and then attacking the maize plant.
Absolutely ingenious. And I suspect that's had a knock-on effect for the yields. Thank you very much, Tony.